Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2011 Do It With Drupal Conference. This year's event takes place October 12th, 13th, and 14th in Brooklyn, New York. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers and hear from experts in emerging technologies such as IPTV and mobile app development. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
I'm Brian Millendorf. I'm the Chief Technology Officer at the World Economic Forum. I've been participating in open source projects as a user since 1991 when I first got on the internet. Although I guess you could even say Fractint, a tool that I was playing around with to explore fractals in the 80s, was kind of an open source project. I was a co-founder of the Apache project in 1995 and then started a company called CollabNet, which was focused on how do we make how open source communities work, from the tools to the community management, distill it down to a science and take it to the rest of the world, right? And, kind of really got interested in how open source could have an impact on issues far beyond just, you know, a better web server or a better database pretty early on, you know, and started to become a fan of projects like Mifos, which is an open source microfinance application, you know, other similar kinds of things, and started volunteering on the Obama campaign in 2008, worked with them on technology policy, and then when the administration came into office, worked at the White House for 6 months doing open government, helping run the Open Government Initiative, and then in basically July of 2009 started working with the Department of Health and Human Services on a platform for the exchange of electronic healthcare records called Connect, and it was an open source platform to reinforce open standards around the exchange of records. And around this time last year, I started talking with the forum about the community that they have of world leaders that kind of wasn't what it should be at the time, and how it could be improved, and suggested that they look at an alternative platform for that kind of thing, and did a bunch of research and came down to Drupal being the best alternative based on, you know, the community, based on the quality of the code and kind of what we were trying to build. And so consulted with them part-time for a while, and that part-time became full-time in January, and I joined as CTO.
Cool. So you've sort of had a long history of open source and promoting it through many different channels, government and corporations. So what do you see as sort of like what on their website, what do they need to be able to communicate, or what is Drupal actually doing for the World Economic Forum?
So Drupal is now the platform for this private community. It's about 2,500 people who have been to our conferences, who are part of our initiatives that we run. They are government leaders, they are CEOs, they're NGO heads and experts, and people who are, you know, they attend the in-person things, but they also want, they need an environment to coordinate their activities, to coordinate conversations around, you know, what are the threats to the world from natural disasters, from access to clean water. Food security is a big topic, cybersecurity and cloud computing. And things are threats, but also opportunities, right? And, you know, a lot of the forum is really based around the principles of stakeholder economics, of the best business decisions are sometimes made by bringing all of the people in the room who are affected by those decisions and having an open and frank conversation about the outcomes, right? And the forum is really a facilitator of these conversations, right? And a facilitator of initiatives around these big long-term problems in the world. And I think Drupal, in particular, the Drupal Commons model of building sub-communities within a larger community, giving them the space to be able to have conversations, share files, work on common documents through a wiki, those kinds of things, and then integrate with each other as a community of communities is pretty powerful. And it's something that, you know, we've built this site upon it. We've also moved the public-facing forum website to Drupal. We have some internal community building that we need to do as well, so we're looking at Drupal for that. But by and large, you know, the forum realizes it needs to move to a world where technology is not just, you know, making sure the plumbing works, but technology is actually a partner with the strategy in accomplishing some big things, and so that's why I'm there.
Cool. And so you mentioned Acquia's Drupal Commons. Is this what is driving the website? Or maybe you could talk about some of the more specific Drupal modules that you have running things.
We've used a pretty standard kind of install of Drupal Commons, and Commons isn't so much driving things as it is, you know, it was the best combination of modules around to be able to build this community of communities. And it's certainly not the only one, nor is it that we're buying into one choice versus the other. It's simply what happened to be there when it decided to move forward. We're really not using many other, you know, sophisticated kind of modules, because our basic needs are, you know, communication and sharing of files and things like that. So we did build some custom stuff because we've got some conference, like event management stuff that we needed to build an interface to, being able to sign up for sessions that are in-person events and register for them and make up your agenda and things like that. That actually I'm now looking at the conference distribution of Drupal to see, is there something that we could have, you know, that might make sense for us to move to there. But really, I want to build as little in-house technology as we have to, right? Everything that we do should be actually upstreamed as quickly as possible. And so we've been, you know, depending upon Acquia to upstream as many, you know, if the defect that we found was actually a core defect, upstream it. As we migrated off of SharePoint, which is what the old community was on, you know, hopefully the scripts and the thinking and the research that was done to assist with that was also pushed upstream to other people who could benefit from a better tool to migrate off of SharePoint, right? So everything we do is around that. Now, in this migration from the old system to new, we had a constraint that was imposed from the business side of the house, not to change the user interface, but to keep that the same and change the underlying engine. And we could make one change, which is the old system was in Flash, you know, and that was a source of some of the issues that people had with the system. The new interface could be HTML5, but it still had to basically look and work the same. And so we kept to that. It did hinder some of the things that we wanted to do, but now that we've made this transition, now we can make the case for doing more significant UI changes and things that are more native to the web.
I see. And so you've spent a lot of time in different open source communities, and you know, you've sort of been tangentially involved with Drupal now for a little bit. So I'm just curious, like, what you see as key components that make an open source community and project successful.
A diverse contributor community, a diverse vendor community. You know, there isn't just one company at the center of this universe. There are a bunch of companies, and they compete, but they also collaborate on the important things. You know, a transparent development process, one that is, you know, the right level of granularity. So the ability to actually devolve and say there's different teams working on different, you know, parts of the infrastructure, a really healthy module and plugin community, right? Man, there's so many of these things that, like, you know, Drupal just, like, ticks off, right, you know, as accomplishments. But, you know, notice nowhere in there do I talk about code quality. I mean, it has to be good enough, right? You know, it has to be performant enough. It has to be mature enough to have a set of things that make it easier to work with. But this isn't a beauty contest. At the end of the day, it really is about the people in the environment, community around it. And they have to kind of be nice people, you know? You have to kind of want to invite them over to your house for dinner, you know? I mean, it sounds like such a touchy-feely basis to make a decision, but ultimately the best code comes from, you know, environments that are supportive like that.
And so since Drupal's been around for 10 years now, since 2001, I'm just curious, like, your first exposure to Drupal and the process of you kind of evaluating it, what you were sort of, like, noticing and learning as you went along.
So first looked at it, first built something directly in it in 2008, I guess, as we were starting to play with it with the Obama campaign, and said, boy, this is definitely better than WordPress, you know, but there was still some clunkiness. Like the learning curve wasn't exactly diagonal, right? That the ideal learning curve is something where you learn a little bit, you do a little bit, learn a bit more, do a little bit more. And at that time, it still was a little wavy. You know, there were also plenty of secondhand things that we had heard about the pain of major version upgrades, you know, and I do think there are a lot of nonprofit organizations who started with Drupal 3 or 4 and were very vocal about their disapproval of Drupal at the time, that I think the things that they complained about have been dealt with since, and yet there's still kind of this perception that migrations are a bit of a bear. So that's still something I watch for and concerns me about committing an organization to Drupal. But I know that there's enough core developers who realize that that's a major issue, and with Dree's presentation as well, where he noted some of the other issues that large vendors are dealing with, I have a large degree of confidence that those issues are being dealt with, right? And, you know, as time has gone on and you see a lot more modules to do interesting things, that's also been a big win. The thing that concerns me sometimes, though, another thing about the modules is it seems like oftentimes you want to do something and there's 10 different modules to do it, and they're all at version 0.5. And I really encourage people to think about if they're building a new module to do something, to build upon what's come before, you know, or if they've got a module that does OpenID logins, you know, that they think about, is it really make sense to be a separate module or to take your efforts and combine it with other efforts? And if there's things the Drupal organization can do to encourage authors to work together on common code bases, common plugins rather than disparate ones, that would be really cool.
And having sort of worked in the Obama administration, and you also had Obama eventually went to Drupal, did you have any sort of part in helping lead that?
No, that wasn't me. I mean, during the campaign, a group of us who were advisors worked together on kind of building a very rough prototype of what whitehouse.gov could look like on top of a framework that allowed for public comment and brainstorming around, you know, what questions could the president answer in his next, you know, radio address and things like that. And could it be a tool for increasing the openness of government and the participation of citizens? And, you know, created a great presentation, handed it off, and then who knows what happened to it. But I'd like to think that it worked its way and helped create a lot of positive sentiment towards certainly Web 2.0 technologies at the White House level. And if it helped make an intro for Drupal, then that's great. But I have no evidence that that actually happened. And full credit goes instead to Macon Phillips and David Cole and the others in Phase 2 and the other vendors who worked on that for actually getting the White House migrated, because it was probably a tremendous challenge to bring all the old content over in a way that preserved links and preserved, you know, look and feel and such. So full credit to them.
Cool. And finally, maybe talk a bit about, you know, how with your current job at the World Economic Forum, you hope to sort of infuse open source values or principles into the culture of like these big power elites.
Well, the most important thing is to serve the mission of the forum well, which is to build systems that foster collaboration, foster conversations among stakeholders, and do it in a way that's efficient, you know, that doesn't waste money on expensive, overweight systems, right? And so I think simply by doing that job well, we'll do a lot of good. By bringing more technologists into the organization, by pointing to where we've worked with the community on this technology or that, maybe even by pointing to open initiatives in healthcare or in open data movements or others, we can start to make the case for, you know, there's not silver bullets all over the place, but there are big things that can be accomplished by an open approach to building technology.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thanks.